I hope and pray that your faith is helping you in the present time, a present difficult time. We offer an affirmation of our faith each time we worship at Daleville Christian Church, always from God's Word, and this word from the book of Hebrews in the 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us pray together. Almighty Heavenly Father, you are a great God. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. You know us and you hear our prayers. We praise your name. We would tell others of the great God we serve. Heavenly Father, the world is suffering in the grip of the present pandemic. How often have you heard the cries of your people in plague? It is now our turn to come to you, and we come to you in dismay and in fear. We come to you adrift in our daily lives. Gone are timing and places where we lived our lives. We cannot right now embrace those we love. This also distresses us. We find ourselves feeling alone, and our usual comforts are often not available to us. However, Lord, you remain available to us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your church, your bride, remains at work, although the work is often hidden from our eyes. You see our devotion, our desire, our hope to express to others, our Lord and Savior. Bless us, we pray, in your word again today. Be thou our wisdom, and thou our true word. We ever with thee, and thou with us, Lord. Thou, our great Father, we all, thy true sons. Thou in us dwelling, and we with thee, one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reading of God's Word today is from the Apostle Paul's letter that we commonly refer to as 2 Corinthians, verses 4 through 7. In this context, I believe we can all relate. The Apostle had been apart from the Corinthian church, but still at work for the mission of Jesus, and so the Apostle wrote, "I have spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged in all our troubles. My joy knows no bounds." I'll read that again, verse 5. "In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever." It kind of makes me want to add, "Thinking of you, love, Paul." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Happiness in a pandemic? Now, I've shared this little story with you before. When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment, and I told them they didn't understand life. Being happy right now, anywhere in the world, has become a little tough, hasn't it? Even wanting to be happy is a bit of a challenge. Would you agree? We are in the midst of a worldwide pandemic. There are clearly many, many unhappy people right now, everywhere. Or as some say, unhappy people all over the place. However, I watched a woman on the news who was back at work after her job was allowed to be reinstated as her state opened up, as we call it. She said rather excitedly, "It's so great to be back at work." Now, we might ask whether she really enjoys her job that much, or was she really needing the income, or both? The look on the woman's face and the sound in her voice made me think that she really did enjoy her work. And perhaps being back at work made her life seem much more like normal. Normal is something most of us kissed goodbye 2 months ago. That is, we kissed normal life goodbye 2 months ago. And losing our normal life appears to have made some people angry and very unhappy. So what has that got to do with following Jesus? Good question. How about some quotes from God's Word, the Bible? The Apostle Peter preached to the crowd on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, quoting Psalm 16, "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." The New International Version says it this way, "I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." How about Psalm 100? "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Most versions of that verse from Psalm 100 follow the King James Version. "Serve the Lord with gladness." "Serve the Lord in gladness" is one alternative. How about Psalm 16, "with eternal pleasures at your right hand"? One of my old professors at seminary would often start a lecture reading from one of these psalms. As I recall, he taught at the 8 o'clock class, 8 o'clock in the morning. He was 6'4", with a commanding deep voice, and he would read from one of these psalms, and he'd walk up to some poor guy in the front row and lean down to his face and ask, "Do you serve the Lord with gladness?" Now, I'm not a morning person. I was never ready for that first thing in the morning, so I never sat in the front row. I heard an ad for some guy running for office. And the first thing the spokesperson said was that the guy was a Christian. And I had to wonder what kind of Christian he is. For example, is he a happy Christian or is he a grumpy Christian? Does that man serve the Lord with gladness? Does it matter? You tell me. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Now, I must mention my own observation. Most people running for office are very unhappy about something and they want to change it. So a happy Christian running for office, well, I'm open to the idea, but I may need some convincing. Now, the Apostle Peter in chapter 2 of Acts is quoting Psalm 16, and please notice verse 26 in chapter 2, "Therefore my heart is glad." The glad heart is mentioned four times in the Psalms, and at least as many times elsewhere in the Bible. "And my tongue rejoices" only occurs twice in the Bible. It's a unique phrase. "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Being filled with joy is much more a New Testament phrase. The Apostle Paul could even write, as we read in today's Bible reading, 2 Corinthians 7:4, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation." Or, "In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds." That's a tough call, isn't it? "In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds." Now, you might already know that happiness is its own area of scientific study. Did you know that? Now, that's a scientific experiment I would definitely sign up to be a subject in. Of course, I would give them a hint that donuts do make me happy. Do donuts make people happy? My answer is at least a dozen, right? And my heart will be even gladder, is that a word? My heart will be even gladder when I eat the dozen donuts. You can say amen to that right where you're sitting. "In all our troubles, does my joy know no bounds?" Well, I'm working on it. I remind you what the book of Job says, and Job is a man who knew troubles, yes? And Job will say in the first chapter, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. So were these Bible writers just bipolar? No. Did the Bible writers really know troubles and tribulations? Yes. Those writers knew more than most of us will ever know, including plague, drought, crop failure, starvation, war. Now, I'm not saying you have to be happy with what is going on around us right now, but I do want to ask about what the sources of your happiness are. Are your human relationships a source of joy? Interviews with elderly women and men suggest that relationships throughout our lives become the major source of happiness. Yes, even in the 21st century. Well, how about your relationship to the Lord? Is it a source of happiness or gladness or joy? The Apostle Paul wrote to the churches in Rome, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." For the Apostle Paul, clearly a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, his Son, is the possibility for joy, for peace, for hope. You might have noticed that hope is also in short supply these days. I read a letter to the editor a few weeks ago. The writer must have been an older man because he was writing a letter to the editor of a newspaper. That's how you know. But the man said in his letter that the pandemic had helped make him realize how glad he was to be alive. That he was not taking life for granted anymore. Here, clearly, is a man who is onto something, at least the way that he wrote about it. It wasn't his lifestyle, or his house, if he had one, or his family, if he had one. But he saw that fundamentally, he doesn't have anything at all if he isn't living. That fits the true definition of happiness, you know. Happiness is being happy with whatever is happening. This man was alive, and that alone, he realized, was the foundation of his happiness. One of John's letters starts off saying, "And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." I'll repeat that. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. Over and over in the New Testament, it's a relationship with God in Jesus that makes joy possible. Over and over in the New Testament, it is a relationship with God in Jesus that makes joy complete. As I mentioned, the topic of happiness is its own area of scientific study. There are different kinds or types of happiness, for example, that add up to a general feeling of happiness. And I would want to be sure to mention that religion, that is, a relationship with a being or reality, if you will, greater than ourselves, often scores high in allowing chances for happiness. Jesus, if Jesus had been asked, would have said yes to that scientific fact. Jesus was able to be certain of his heavenly Father's love even in the most dire of circumstances. By contrast, no one can claim that the man Job was a happy man. But he was blessed with many of the things and relationships we usually believe make for happiness. That should give many people pause for reflection. However, Job never gave up his relationship with God. You might say Job lost everything but his relationship with God. And even when he had lost everything, he refused to give up his relationship with God and held on to it with patience and tenacity. When Job lost everything, Job spoke those words in the first chapter. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. My experience is that this is one of the heights of a faith relationship with the Heavenly Father, and not everyone gets to that heights of faithful living. But everyone can have a relationship with Jesus the Christ. Christ means Messiah, the Anointed One of God. Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to me all. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." To a rich man, Jesus said, "Follow me. Have a relationship with me, Jesus. No longer trust in your wealth. Trust me. Follow me. Jesus' invitation is always open. Always. Always open. His invitation is a chance for true happiness. I want to close with Paul's blessing of certainty in his letter to the churches in Rome in the 15th chapter. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can make a decision to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior at any time, even today, even now. Just tell Jesus you want to follow him. Talk with Jesus. If you haven't yet followed Jesus and made him Lord of your life and your Savior, talk with Jesus. Start that relationship. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.